In about 8 weeks, the Oregon legislature needs to have a budget in place for the next two-year budget cycle, the two-year biennium starting on July 1st. And a lot of questions have to be answered in these weeks ahead. At the moment, there's a gap. Maintaining state services at current levels would cost $1.6 billion, more than the state expects to bring in through current revenue sources. So cuts or new revenue or a combination of both? That's the big question. Let's get an update on the process from two members of the Oregon Senate. Senator Alan DeBoer is in his first legislative session after being elected last fall. He's from Ashland and a Republican and sits on the Joint Ways and Means Committee directly responsible for budgeting. Senator DeBoer, good to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Nice to. I'm glad you reached out. I do these talk shows on a regular basis and available for JPR whenever you need.
Good to know. Senator Mark Hass is with us as well, a legislator since 2001. He's from Beaverton and is a Democrat. He chairs the Senate Revenue Committee and is the co-chair of a new committee on tax reform that also includes House Member Pam Marsh, newly elected from Ashland. She's not with us today. Senator Hass is. Senator Hass, good to hear from you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Participating.
Okay. Alan DeBoer, let's start with you. What's the process been like, not only getting to know the Capitol and how it works, but getting familiar with the budgeting process?
It's kind of my specialty, budget, so getting familiar isn't that hard for me. I've actually been working with Senator Hass for, I think, the last 8 weeks on the small committee that was working on some of this, so I'm really familiar with it. And it's an interesting proposal, and I think it has some opportunity to both clarify the Oregon tax system on corporations, to create some new revenue, which we do need, and to maybe make our taxes a little easier. And I know there's ads running against it already when people don't even know. And I've had numerous phone calls to my office. I return all the phone calls. And the people I talk to, once I explain the basis of it, they go, oh, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
All right. So what we're talking about is a corporate activities tax, I think, is what the current label for it is. Senator Hass, can you let us know what some of the details of that are?
Well, first, let me say it has been a delight working with Senator DeBoer, given his extensive business knowledge, and he didn't need any sort of internship level here. He just came right in, rolled up his sleeves, and that's been tremendous. The idea is to replace the corporate income tax with something that works better. Public finance economists around the country are saying that the corporate income tax that Oregon and about 40 other states have is becoming obsolete. And that's because of the changing nature of our economy, moving from an old economy, if you will, to a new service economy, and because of sophisticated accounting and offshore money, and all of these things are making it easier for large companies especially to disguise their profits. And so states are looking at this corporate income tax over the next 20 years as something that's either steady or in a downward trend. And it just needs to be modernized.
And so, it has been on a downward trend in Oregon, too, as relative to personal income tax collections?
Absolutely.
And
economists argue that a more practical way to do this is a corporate activity tax, where you're taxed a very small percentage of all of your activity in a state. Now, there's upsides and downsides, and we've worked with Senator DeBoer and others for weeks arguing and debating about how to mitigate the downsides, and so it's one example of how we can improve things. It may not be the end all be all, but we're working on it, and I think it's a problem that we're all trying to solve.
So you had your first meeting of this this new joint committee on tax reform just yesterday, is that right? So is this where the corporate activities tax was unveiled essentially?
Yes, pretty much the framework. We did most of it in the work group, but the key decision points will obviously be the rate or rates and what the base will be.
Is it a gross receipts tax by another name?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's there are little nuances. There are sales that will be exempt, and there will be margins, and so that gets it away from that, but It's probably the biggest political challenge we have is that it's often compared to ballot measure 97, and I think Senator DeBoer would agree that this is about as far from ballot measure 97 as you could possibly get.
So, yeah, Senator DeBoer, let's get some perspective on that, because you do come at this as a business owner from being in the car sales business for many, many years. Give us an idea of how this struck you as a business owner.
Well, first, I'm a little skeptical. As you get into it more and you start seeing more information, especially about sales tax declining in states because of the internet presence and internet buying, there's some pretty interesting information we got just 2 weeks ago. We want everybody to pay their fair share, and I think people want to pay their fair share, and there's some argument that for the right to do business, my biggest skepticism has been that if you're losing money, it will cause you to lose more. But quite truthfully, if you're losing money, you need to change something anyway. So this may force that change earlier than bankruptcy. And it's a small portion. If your gross receipts are under 100,000, there's not even any reporting. If they're between 100,000 and a million, maybe a $250 flat charge and a little percentage. And then over a million, that's it's going to capture revenue that we're currently not getting. The internet has changed things, so people are based outside of the state selling things in Oregon. And they need to pay for that right to do that. And it's a small amount. I think if people take an open mind and watch this, and it'll be interesting to see. I know Speaker Kotek is going to give a presentation tomorrow to the committee. I'm actually not on the committee. It's a very large committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be sitting in the audience, which is kind of comfortable for me. I just like to be quietly in the background. And I'll certainly work with Mark and the other group and give them suggestions, and I'll be involved in it.
That must be interesting to be on Ways and Means Committee, but not on this Joint Committee on Tax Reform. So you got people talking about a new method of revenue, and yet you're not part of that committee, but you are part of the committee that eventually has to get a budget out.
Everything up here is interesting, and people ask me if I enjoy it. I say I don't know if anybody enjoys it, but it is full of opportunities.
No doubt. We're talking to Senator Alan DeBoer of Ashland in his first legislative session. He is sitting on the Joint Ways and Means Committee, which is directly responsible for budgeting. We're talking about budgets. He is joined by Senator Mark Haas, who is a legislative veteran from Beaverton, who chairs the Senate Revenue Committee and is the co-chair of a joint committee on tax reform. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Senator Haas, Senator DeBoer mentioned ads actually running already, criticizing the tax plan before you've ever really proposed it. Who's put the ads out there, and what's the nature of them?
Well, I'll let others speculate on who's doing that, because they're in a group that's their donors are secret. So right away, I think they start in the negatives. I think it's probably a fringe group of business people using sort of bumper sticker slogans, and as you mentioned, as it was noted that. You know, they're doing that before they even saw the ad. So I'm not sure that's effective. But I think what we're really trying to do is fix this. And we are working with some businesses that are, you know, we're talking to their tax departments who pay state taxes in all 50 states, including the six that have some form of a gross receipts tax. And they've come to the table and they said, you know, these aren't bad, but you got to remember to do this, this, and this. And, you know, draw in some practical sideboards, which we're doing. So, you know, businesses, like people, are all over the map.
The concept that Senator DeBoer brought up a moment ago about fair share, that's an elusive one, I would think, Senator Haas. I mean, you've been in the legislature for a long time and covered it as a journalist before that. does the concept of fair share always get cast by somebody who's not in the group that's being asked to pay the fair share?
Well, I know from 16 years on the House and Senate Revenue Committees that there really is one tax that people support, they kind of rally around, and that's the tax that someone else pays. And so we're constantly up against that, and what my version of fair share is may be different than your fair share, but I do believe it is a majority of people who hold that to be a central value in tax policy, that it should be fair, that everybody should pay their fair share. And nothing gets people angrier than when they see people slipping through without paying their fair share, because goodness knows we all pay ours. So, yeah, it is a little elusive, but I think it's also a core value that most Oregonians hold as important.
We have talked thus far about revenue mechanisms, but not about revenue needs. Senator DeBoer, I'm curious to know how convinced you or anyone else in your party is that new revenue is needed in the next biennium.
Well, I don't know if I can speak for my party, but we need more revenue. And the PERS is the problem. And I'm deeply involved in PERS right now. And And I think if we don't do anything, and we've avoided really helping PERS, I mean, we changed systems, but the deficit, which is somewhat talked about at $22 billion, it could be $50 billion, it could be $17 billion, just if you change actuarial tables just slightly, it goes off the chart. But if we don't do anything in 8 years, it's my opinion that we won't be talking about increasing funds to education. We'll be talking about decreasing funds to education from their present value. And we cannot do that. I mean, we talk about education, health care, and senior services and all those things. Those are critical to our state, and we need to make sure they're properly funded. With that said, we can better manage them and save quite a bit of money. There's numerous things that I feel we're doing that we could have in the hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. The other problem we run into that the kicker may kick. I'm trying to introduce a bill to refer the kicker to the voters because it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And we may be able to do that. But if it kicks, we have a whole other argument coming up because we not only lose the growth, we lose the 2% of growth we could have pocketed.
And we get another revenue forecast. Is it the 16th or the 22nd? I don't remember the date. Mark Hass, do you know that?
I think it's May 16th.
Okay, so we got it coming up in about 2 weeks. So, but Senator DeBoer, you're talking about many things that we could do that could save potentially hundreds of millions of dollars. Give an example or two, if you would.
How we're doing health care in the state. I'm not a fan of CCOs, and I think that we could better do that. We give them block granting. What they don't spend, they can keep. And it's funny that we're $890 million short on health care this biennium, and the CCOs are holding profit and reserves of $925 million. So I think we need to look at it. Their contract runs up in the next year, and I think OHA, Oregon Health Authority, is going to put a committee together. That's what I've been told. I've offered to serve on it. And then, of course, I became really involved in the mental health care in Jackson County. And there's some severe problems in how that occurred, and let's not point fingers, but I think we need to hear how we're delivering health care services so the people get to see somebody quickly, a live person, and we start dealing with needs.
I want to come back to PERS, the Public Employee Retirement System. Senator Mark Hass, you've been looking at this for a very long time. Was some shortfall in PERS unavoidable given just the bulge of people who will be receiving retirement benefits from government in Oregon?
I think that's probably true, especially the retirees. You know, this was a thing that was created a generation ago. There's nobody in state government today, from the governor down to the janitor, that had anything to do with creating it. Since I've been here in 16 years, we've been struggling with this the whole way. I voted for three or four different reform spending ideas. Had we not done those, the problem would be much, much, much worse. And some of those that we voted in were, as you know, thrown out by the court, saying you can't go that far, a deal's a deal. And so, you know, I'll do some more reforms if we think they're legal and fair. And I think there may be some bills this session that do that. But this has just been a very, very difficult thing for all of Oregon. And the policymakers who are in power now are struggling too, because we had nothing to do with creating it. And yet we're tasked with trying to bring it under control. And the courts will only let us go so far. And you do have people. PERS isn't a theoretical thing out there. These are school teachers and police officers and people who said, okay, I'll take a lower salary if the retirement is a good deal. And then when they get to retirement age, you can't say, well, we changed our mind on that. You don't get this. So it's a very, very difficult issue that I've been struggling with 16 years here at the Capitol.
As a Democrat, though, I mean, there is the constant charge that you guys are afraid to cross the public employee unions in making any changes to PERS. What's the truth of that for you?
Well, the truth for me is in 2003, I voted for some very strict reforms. The public employees wouldn't talk to me for 5 years after that. So I've kind of lost my innocence on that, and I'm married to a school teacher. So I just think that's a red herring. People will do this. The former Governor Kulongoski led the charge to reform PERS, and he was a Democrat. So the reality is it's just a very difficult issue, and the more you wade into it, you find out how complicated it is. And I think a lot of the business people who have come to the table now to look at revenues and budgets are now seeing what we've been struggling with for the last decade or so, that this isn't an easy fix, and there's only so far you can go. And so, you know, it's a very complicated mess.
Well, we're talking about Oregon budgeting with Senator Mark Hass of Beaverton, Senator Alan DeBoer of Ashland. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Senator Alan DeBoer, if you do see some wiggle room here, things that can be done to trim PERS benefits or to change the system in some way that could save the state some money, what would those be?
Well, Senator Hass has defined this problem years ago. And I think he realizes, as I do, that a deal is a deal, and we need funding. I don't know. You promise somebody something, I think your word's your bond, and you need to deliver. So, you know, they made great changes, you know, changing PERS for new employees and stuff. May have gone too far. It may be too light for the Series 3 and 4. But we need to get through this period with the current retirees, and I don't fault them. The plan was poorly written years ago. I was on school board. We identified it as probably the worst problem. I kind of mad at myself for not pushing that. I was fairly young at the time and should have pushed it harder because the damage was probably already done back then. So we need to take care of our employees that have been promised a program. And it comes down to funding. And I congratulate Senator Hass for pushing on this and pushing on this and pushing on this, because we need to have everybody realize that we need to provide some funding for it.
We mentioned that you've been able to bring your business mind to the state Senate and the whole process of budgeting and the issue of tax reform. I wonder what how much conversation you're having with friends in the business community about the ideas of a new tax, the corporate activities tax or gross receipts tax, whatever you want to call it, what the general feeling is and whether you're getting a lot of it's just Measure 97 all over again.
I feel support. I'll have to remind you that I was president of the New Car Dealers Association, and I was pushing to repeal the corporate kicker. And that was unanimously supported by every car dealer in the state of Oregon. And from there, it went to the ballot, and the corporate kicker is now gone. There was nobody opposed to it. It was a vote of the people. There wasn't a big ballot push. There wasn't campaigning. And that first year, it kicked $67 million to the general fund.
Okay, so you're definitely in support of something that would keep some revenue. The bigger question, Senator Mark Hass, is revenue will be up for the next biennium, not insignificantly. Why is that not enough is what I'm sure a lot of people are asking still.
Well, it gets real complicated. We could spend the next hour on this, but a big portion of it has to do with the pullback in federal Medicaid funding to Oregon, and that's probably $800 or $900 million. That's the biggest chunk. The recent spike in PERS is the other big chunk, and with those two things basically make up the lion's share of this $1.6 billion shortfall. If we didn't have those two things, we might be okay, but we do have those two things. That's one. And number two, even if we had no deficit or no shortfall, that doesn't erase the fact that the corporate income tax is becoming obsolete and should be updated or modernized. And I've gone on record saying, even if this corporate activity tax is revenue neutral and we're not trying to raise money, we should still swap it out, even if the dollar amounts are the same, because it's a more modern, practical, stable system. It'll add a measure of stability to the Swiss Alps of general revenue that comes into our state. And it also will grow with the economy. It won't decline over in years to come. So that's part of it. The other part that, you know, I hope goes without saying is we're on two fronts here, and one is a very serious set of cost containment proposals that were announced a couple of weeks ago, and those have to pass along with the revenue package. We won't get one or the other. We get both, or we get neither. We're pulling these two strings together here. So that's the goal.
All right, let's take a call here from Heidi in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Senators Mark Hass and Alan DeBoer.
I have a question about PERS. Mm-hmm. We always hear about the teachers being on PERS and, you know, how much it costs and all that, but we really don't ever hear about the very, very well-earning people like our county manager and the football coaches at the colleges and all that, who really make quite handsome salaries sometimes over a million, and they are also on the PERS. Is that true?
All right. Senator DeBoer, why don't you take that one?
You know, you need some business people up here to actually write contracts, because so many things were missed in that initial contract. I mean, there generally you'd put a top on salaries. When we hire the football coaches, they can just be excluded from PERS. They wouldn't even blink at the contract saying, hey, you don't get PERS. And there's always extremes, you know, that most of the people in the program are not getting that kind of salary, so the other ones stand out. We can't change the past. We have put initiations in that correct the problem in the future. But we need to honor our commitments, and you know, there's 2,300 pages you can look at on the internet of every PERS recipient in the state, and by name and the amount they're getting. And what I was horrified when I went through, I don't know, 200 pages or something, is that some people getting 200% of their salary, some people getting 50% of the salary, and I just saw a huge inequity in how some people could game the system to increase, and other people just went in the system and didn't get as much. So there's lots of things to be fixed, and I think we've got 46 days left of
till July 1st
to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right,
by
so
10th.
All right, that is the deadline for getting the budget set up, and we'll have another revenue forecast, as we heard, in May 16th, and have a better idea of what the shortfall looks like. Meanwhile, a lot of work going on in Salem to close that gap. Senator Mark Hass, Senator Alan DeBoer, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, take care.